So as long as we are under the influence of Maya, we are caught in this world. Maya is the divine power. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Devi Yesha Gunamayi, Mama Maya Duratyaya, Mameva Ye Prapadyante, Maya Metam Tarantite. So he says this divine power of mine is very difficult to cross. But those who approach me with love, devotion, humility, I help them to cross the Maya. So most of us are, or all of us at least, are under the influence of Maya. So this chart is called the BMI chart, which means body, mind and intellect. These are my three equipments. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V stands for vasanas, which are my tendencies, my desires. And Om represents God's presence in us. You can call it Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, Allah. But it's the Lord, it's the consciousness that is present in all of us. So as long as I'm under the influence of Maya, I think myself to be this jiva, this limited individuality, perceiver, feeler, and thinker. And I struggle in the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, trying to acquire, possess more and more. But the goal of spirituality is to realize that we are all that Om, that Brahman, that consciousness. And once you reach that state, that is the state of the enlightened master who can say, Aham Brahmasmi. You and I intellectually know that, that I am that consciousness, but we do not have the inner experience of that wisdom, which the enlightened master like Pujya Gurudev and other acharyas had that. So that is what the goal of meditation is. In meditation, what we do is we turn the attention of the body, mind and intellect away from the world of objects, emotions and thoughts and direct it inwards to that consciousness. So then in that meditation, in that silence, I am able to experience my oneness with that Lord within. And once you experience it within, then it is very easy to see it outside. And that's what all these great saints and Mahatma said, that love thy neighbor as thyself, because they could see the oneness which you and I, we are still trying to attain. And that's why Gurudev always says that the path of meditation is the most direct path to Om, to consciousness. The path of service, path of love, path of knowledge, they are all good. They help us. But some people say, well, I do good. I don't hurt anybody. And I earn honestly and I live a good life. So what is wrong with that? That is very good. We are not saying that's anything wrong. But your ignorance still remains. You are a good jiva. You are a good individual. But that individuality doesn't go away. Similarly, people say, I go to the temple and pray. That is wonderful. But devotion to the Lord can be incomplete unless you know who this God is really is. And our idea of God is what is described in the Puranas, you know, Sri Krishna playing the flute, or Shiva sitting in meditation, or, you know, Mother Saraswati, goddess of knowledge. So those are all the Puranic definitions, but what is the true definition of who God is? When we know that, then we can experience God within each and every one of us. So the Bhagavad Gita, especially the sixth chapter, tells us that if you want to find God, go inward, because He is the closest. He is with me. He is me at all times. So far in the sixth chapter, we have studied the path of meditation, the reason, the benefit of meditation, why we should meditate. We just talked about what is the technique of meditation. Bhagavan has described how to sit, how to position the body, and then how to relax, to quieten the mind, how to bring the thoughts from everywhere. So all the technique was given in detail, and what are the obstacles, how the mind runs, and what are the methods to control it. And then having controlled what is the benefit, we studied that a few weeks ago. Yo mam pasyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mai pasyati, tasyaham na pranashyami, sacha mena pranashyati. Bhagavan says, one who sees me, me means the total God, the Lord, the Brahman, who sees me everywhere, in all beings, and within himself also, then such a person is never lost. Then you are never far away from God. You don't have to say God is somewhere far away in Kailash or in Vaikuntha or in the temple. He is in my own heart. And then last week, Arjuna asked a couple of questions. The first question he asked was, how can the mind be controlled? The mind is very difficult to control, as we all know. When you try to quieten the mind, especially those of you who meditate, realize how hard it is to quieten the mind. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Asamshaya Mahabaho Mano Dur Nigraham Chalan Abhyase Natu Kaunteya Vairage Nacha Grihyate. He says the mind can be controlled by Abhyasa and Vairagya, by practice and by detachment. Then Arjuna asks one more question. We had done the beginning of that question in verse number 37, where he says, if an individual who is very sincere, who is working hard on this spiritual path and is putting in all his effort, but for some reason does not get the siddhi, does not get the final yoga siddhi, the final accomplishment of yoga, the oneness, and does not become enlightened in this lifetime, then what happens to such an individual who did not get what he wanted? He's sincere, he's putting in all the effort, but he drops his body before he can reach. So that was it's a very good question. And we'll see, Arjuna will add to that question today. And then Bhagavan will begin the answer. And then we'll continue the Bhagavan's answer next week. So there's quite a few verses he has given to answer this question. So verse number 38. This is Arjuna is asking, Kachin Obhaya Vibhrashtaha. Chinna Brahmiva Nashyati Apratishto Mahabaho Vimudho Brahmanapati. Together, Kachin Obhaya Vibhrashtaha Chinna Brahmiva Nashyati Apratishto Mahabaho Vimudho Brahmanapati. So last week he had asked what happens to this person who has Shraddha, who puts the effort, but Aprapya Yoga Samsiddhim. Kam Gatim Krishna Gachati. What happens to him? So today he continues this question. He says, Kachin, is it possible that Ubhaya Vibhrashta, Ubhaya means two, Vibhrashta means having fallen from both or not having got either of the two. Chinna means broken up. Abhram means a cloud. So cloud, that is rent cloud, or that is broken up, like Iva Nashyati. So just as a cloud can be broken up by the wind and is not able to fulfill its purpose, so similarly, this individual who neither of the two goals he gets, and what happens to him? Apratishto, and he has no support. He has no support in this life left because he has not got either of the two. We'll talk about that. And he did not get this world. And vimudo brahmanav pathi. In the path of Brahman, on the path of Brahman, he got deluded. He did not reach. So what happens to this individual who neither got this world nor got Brahman, And so it seems like he has wasted his life. That's what Arjuna's question is. That this person's life is wasted because just as a cloud, which is blown by the wind, does not give us rain. So what are the both? What are the both that he's talking about? One is this world. You know, this world has some limited joy. So we say, chalo, you know, let's have fun, enjoy life. You know, life is short. Eat, drink, and be merry. What is, you know, there else in life? Kya rakha hai and all that. And so this person, he's just, that's all he's doing in life. And then somehow he listens to a discourse on Bhagavad Gita or reads somewhere. And then he says, you know what? I think I should reduce this. You know, I've spent enough time, parties, drinking, buying, shopping, things, possessing. Let me now, you know, the clock is ticking. You know, I am now 70, 72, and now there is not much time left. So let me now start going towards spirituality. So he starts, you know, so he starts attending lectures, he starts reading, and as this knowledge slowly penetrates, he reduces. He says, I don't need to go every Friday night, you know, to parties. I don't need to go to the shopping mall every weekend, you know, I have extra time. Let me do some Bhagwan bhajan. Let me do some reading. So slowly, slowly he reduces his involvement in the world. But what happens? Either he dies, you know, unfortunately. I mean, we all have to go, but say some unforeseen thing happens and his life ends. You know, 78, 80, he has done 8, 10 years of sadhana, of study, and then his life ends. Or he gets caught in a temptation. He was very sincere on the path. He was every morning meditating. He was studying. And then suddenly some great desire arises and he says, why am I wasting my time in this spirituality? Let me have fun. Or some friend says, you know, what is this? We heard you are going to Gita class. Why are you wasting your time? Come on, let's go play golf Sunday morning, you know. Or there's a football game going on. Let's sit and watch the playoffs. And so he gets tempted where he then stops going on the path of spirituality. So those are the two ways. One is prematurely he passes away before he reaches, or some strong temptation comes, strong desire comes. This reminds me of a little story. So these Marines had joined the new recruits had just joined. So this whole gang of recruits were there and they were all lined up sitting at attention. And the sergeant comes and says, attention. So they say, all attention. So he says, you know what? This is the first time. Marine training is very tough. You have to work hard. Yes, sir. We are ready to work hard. You have to give up smoking, drinking, womanizing. Are you ready? He said, yes, sir. We are ready to give up smoking, drinking, womanizing, all of that. He says, are you ready to give your life for your country? They say, yes, sir. What else is there to live for? Or like, I can't do this, better give up. So that's what desire does. You know, desire, it takes over our mind where then there is no more thought of spirituality, thought of progress. Gurudev in his commentary, he says, how does the mind get destroyed just as a nuclear weapon? You know, we saw that in Hiroshima, Nagasaki. And now we have so many nuclear weapons, America made and then Russia made and China made and then India made. Pakistan not only made but gave it to North Korea, Iran. So the whole world is now, and we have enough nuclear weapons where it can destroy the world 100 times and still there will be left over. So that's what a desire does. It totally takes over our mind, takes over our thinking, where there is no logical thinking left. And what here Arjuna gives a very beautiful example. He says, when we say deluded from both, he says it's like a cloud. Chinna Abhrama. Abhrama means a cloud which is scattered. So what happens is that, you know, suppose it's a sunny day, you know, this blue sky, then you know it's not going to rain. There is no chance. But then it's suppose it has, we are in a drought and rain hasn't fallen for many months. Even a few years ago we were. And suppose gray clouds come and everybody gets happy. Oh God, very nice. You know, our prayers are being answered. It's going to rain today. And, you know, even the forecast says that there is a 60% chance of rain. And so everybody is happy, you know. But then unfortunately, what happens? A strong wind comes from somewhere and the wind breaks the, scatters the clouds and pushes them away. And people lose hope. They say, "Array, you know, we had some hope of rain." And what happened? The wind came and the clouds were scattered. So similarly, there are two kinds of individuals. One is who says, "I have no hope in, I have no interest in spiritual. I have no hope. I have no idea." He's like the blue sky. He says, "I have no interest in spirituality. I'm just going to enjoy life. And theek, I'll next life mein dekhenge. If I have a next life, I'll see. But this life I want to enjoy." So he has no interest. But then there are some others like you and I who have started on the spiritual path. But as I said, either a desire comes and scatters our path or where life ends. So he says, people who are spiritual and who are materialistic, not spiritual, people who are materialistic, they say, "What is the guarantee? How do you know?" Somebody wrote a book that there is some anand up above, Brahman and the joy of, you know, knowing God and all. You don't know if there is even a God or not. After you die, has anybody come back from there? No. Have you seen anybody who said, "I died and came back and I saw heaven and I saw this"? It's just nonsense. So, well, what is life? You know, life is an accident. What happened, you know, how were you born? Mother and father met. Where you were born? Where did you come from? Nowhere. We don't know. It's just from nowhere. And then you live your life and then death is another accident. So you, and where do you go? Nowhere. So you came from nowhere. You lived this life. You went nowhere. Why are you wasting your time in all this? You know, kuch aisa hai nahi. There is no guarantee. There is no proof. Some guy, bearded fellow sitting in the Himalayas, came up with these theories and all. It's all nonsense. So that is what these materialists say, that there is no guarantee. And then this person also listens. You know, he says, "Yeah, maybe he's right. See, I'm now 70, 72, 75. I'm too old to enjoy all the sense pleasures. And I don't know, you know, whether there'll be enough time to get Brahman. So I think my life is a waste." So they say there are two kinds of ananda, Vishaya ananda and Brahmananda. Vishaya ananda means joy that we get in objects. People say, at least there is some joy, you know, if I eat a pizza or an ice cream, or if I buy a new piece of jewelry or a new car or a dress or a house, or there is some joy in it. I know eventually all worldly joys lead to sorrow, you know, which is true. Anything that gives you joy in the world sooner or later leads to sorrow. Any Vishayananda, say you get joy from a person, you know, you're very happy, you met and then you are dating and then you marry, and then what happens? Everybody knows the joy is not permanent. Similarly, an object, you know, you buy something and then after a while it gets old. You buy a car, it's very shiny, new BMW. Then when it starts getting old, then, you know, the repair is five. Every time you take it to the mechanic, $500, $1,000, and then it breaks down. Anything that we buy in the world sooner or later will give us sorrow. That is guaranteed. They say that, okay, I understand. But at least there is some temporary joy. To hai na, kuch to hai at least. Brahmanand, they say, is a permanent, but I'm not sure. There's no guarantee. And who knows where is Brahman? They say Brahman is something you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot taste, you cannot touch, you cannot feel, you cannot experience. How are we to know? So what Arjuna is doing, he seems to be under the influence of this wrong thinking, which we will address in this verse and then in the other verses next week also, that there is this wrong thinking that life is meant for only for this purpose. And so that's what Arjuna seems to be caught in, this wrong thinking of this, that there is a temporary world, there is a temporary human being and a temporary life. So that's all it is. So then but one thing about Arjuna was that he had great faith in the Lord.